For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We welcome in Daryl Ryder. We go to the hotline and welcome in Daryl Ryder, brought to you by Scheiben Jewelers, Cleveland's premier jewelry store. He is dangerous and he is ready to make some deals as we are just over 30 hours away from the trade deadline. Dangerous one. Good morning.
Good morning, guys.
Daryl, who are you letting go? Who are you moving on from today?
Anybody with an expiring contract that doesn't make any money.
Okay, so Greg Newsome is out.
Probably.
Oh, okay. Because for a second, I'm like, well, you just said what you said. Okay, Za'Darius Smith is...
It feels like Za'Darius is as good as gone. Yeah, you know, there's a lot of smoke around that Detroit Lion fire right
Elijah
now.
Moore.
If anyone wants him, sure. But I don't know that anyone wants him.
That's cold-blooded, Daddy.
Well, I mean, he's not done a whole lot, right?
I mean, he had three catches for 28 yards yesterday.
Well, that's worth at least a seventh-round pick.
Daryl Ryder. Go ahead, Tone.
Well, I've seen people use the term fire sale, and I've also seen people kind of liken this to tearing the whole thing down and starting over. I made a case that I don't think that's necessarily the case at all, given the timelines of change in the NFL. You can truly turn it around in 1 year, but what is your make on this situation where we stand now? Because clearly this season is over, and now it's all about trying to pivot and try to salvage next year.
Yeah. Well, here's the thing. People have to understand how the salary cap works, and so you know, those that want to speculate about trading Myles Garrett and Denzel Ward and Jerry Jeudy and guys that have significant money still on their contracts, you can't do it. The reason you can't do it is because of Deshaun Watson. So you can't take those accelerated salary cap charges. You need all the salary cap space you can get next year because you're over the threshold. So, you know, that's why I just was scratching my head over the last week when I would read these posts of, you know, folks making these suggestions, and I'm like, y'all have no idea how the salary cap works. They can't make they can't blow this thing up if they wanted to right now. But, you know, trading Myles Garrett, they can't do it. They shouldn't do it, but they can't do it anyway. And again, they can't do that with guys that have significant money and cap commitments on their contracts right now, because they don't have the room, and they've got to find a way to weasel out of the Deshaun Watson situation to begin with. So,
you're saying that's something they're actively trying to do?
No, I'm just trying to explain to these people that are posting out of thin air. I was going to say something else.
Uh-oh.
That, you know, this is what the Browns should do. No, it's not what they should do, number one. Number two, they can't do it. But I don't feel like this needs to be a complete roster detonation, but there are changes that need to be made. They ran it back this year. It's been a disaster. You know, they needed more than just Jerry Jeudy added to this team. And also too, understand, this isn't Major League Baseball. This isn't the NBA, where you're going to make six, seven trades before a trade deadline and have a fire sale. Could they trade Za'Darius Smith to Lions? Sure, that's out there, right? That's definitely a possibility. But this notion that they're just going to start selling all these guys off for first and second round draft picks is ludicrous. It's not going to happen.
Dale Ryder with us right now talking Cleveland Browns. Jameis Winston, is that conversation over for him potentially being a starting quarterback for the Browns next year?
Yeah, I don't know that it's over, but I think that what yesterday validated was that this is what happens with this offense when you don't have competent quarterback play. He was not good yesterday. His numbers were good against the Ravens, but let's be honest, he probably should have thrown 2 to 4 interceptions in that game too. The Browns were the lucky beneficiaries of Baltimore's inability to catch footballs. So I don't know that, anything definitive can be said at this point other than this is just a terrible football team. And they're going nowhere. The season's been over for weeks, like I said it was. And, yesterday just validated it once again that, no matter who the quarterback is, doesn't matter who's calling the plays, this offense is terrible. It's unwatchable. It's 1999 expansion Browns terrible. And they all ought to be pretty embarrassed about that because they don't have expansion team talent on this team. And yet that's how they play.
Daryl, does Stefanski make it through the rest of the season?
Yeah, I think so, because I don't think firing Kevin Stefanski in the middle of the season solves any problems. Firing Ken Dorsey might solve a problem. The Raiders fired them guys last week.
Are you advocating, Daryl?
See ya.
Hell yeah,
back
I am.
Back
to
back
years. Fired weeks ago. You guys actually thought turning the plays over to him was actually going to make a difference?
No, but
this is his offense.
No, but I didn't think firing him was the prudent thing to do right off the rip.
Oh, I would have canned him weeks ago and gone back to last year's offense in a heartbeat.
Holy cat food. This is something else, Daryl.
Why not? I mean,
Wait a minute. Is firing Ken Dorsey really going to help something, or are you just mad and want some blood?
Well, you guys want to fire Kevin Stefanski. I don't think that solves the problem.
No. Ain't no one firing Kevin Stefanski on this show. I can't speak for the callers, but I know.
I don't know. It
Kevin
sure
Stefanski.
Sounded like Anthony Lamb was trying to lead the witness there.
He asked you a question.
He tried to lead the witness.
He didn't try to lead you to nothing. You led yourself. You walked yourself right to that guillotine, friend. That's what you've done. Daryl Ryder brought to you
I'm not a Ken Dorsey fan. I respect him personally, but I'm not a fan. It's no secret that once they got him out of Buffalo, things magically fell into place for the Bills.
So you think he's created this problem, that Ken Dorsey is to blame for this problem with the Cleveland Browns?
Well, Ken, they broke an offense that didn't need fixed. That's what they did this offseason.
Why did they do it? Who ordered the code red then?
I don't know who ordered the code red, but maybe that person should be shown the door too.
Do they live in San Diego?
There was nothing wrong with the offense that Alex Van Pelt and Kevin Stefanski was running.
Well,
none whatsoever. It scored points. It picked up yards. Wasn't it the bottom of just about every meaningful ranking like this nonsense is?
Mm.
The common denominator here is the new guy, right? I just think that they fixed the problem that didn't need to be fixed this offseason, all under the guise of making the $230 million man better. And, well, I don't know, if the guy can't play, I don't know how much better you can make him.
Daryl, yesterday, Nick Chubb, 15 carries, 39 yards.
Yeah.
That's 2.6 average. On the season, his average in the three games is 2.7. We know his career average is well over 5.
Right.
What have you seen from Nick Chubb so far in his return?
Well, I mean, it's exactly what I expected. He had a couple of bursts yesterday. He had a couple of bursts against the Ravens the week before. I think that's what it's going to be. With him, I came into this with very realistic expectations for what he was going to be able to do physically, and then also combine it with the supporting cast around him and how they have been performing. So I'm not disappointed. I'm not surprised. It's about what I expected to see. The burst here and there from Nick, but, you know, tough sledding at other times.
Do you believe that Bubba Ventrone should be catching some hell from fans?
Yeah, his special teams are pretty terrible, too.
Okay.
Too many breakdowns. You can't give up a big punt return there that sets up one touchdown and then have another field goal block that sets up another touchdown. Your return game is nothing, and it has been since Josh Cribbs was here years ago. The Browns have not been able to return kickoffs or punts with any type of explosiveness. I'm really disappointed because I felt that this new kickoff play and the rules surrounding it were going to provide that opportunity, but there's just nothing dynamic about the Browns' return game at all.
So do you believe that Andrew Berry will be on the hot seat at the end of this season?
I think there's a chance. He bought a lot of the groceries here, and, they're not performing. He gave up a second-round pick for Elijah Moore. That's not looking all that great.
Because, like, people were upset with DeJuan Jones a little bit yesterday because he needed help in chipping Bosa, and I'm sitting there thinking, well, this is his second game. He did not play a lot of left tackle before.
Right.
Second game, and he's playing through an injury. I understand that, and he got his shoulder banged up again. Go ahead, Daryl. You're going to say something. Go ahead.
Well, I mean, here's the thing, right? This is a perfect example of belief what they do, not what they say, okay?
Mm-hmm.
They got him back on the field at left tackle as quickly as possible, right?
Yeah.
So that tells you what you need to know, right? You see what I'm getting at there, Ken?
Were you mentioning Jed Wills here over here, or what did we
say? Yeah, I didn't want to say his name.
No, go ahead and say it. I mean, wait a minute. They wanted to put Jed Wills over there at left tackle because
they wanted to get DeJuan back on the field as quickly as possible.
Yeah, because I mean, this is where the ship has sailed on Jed Wills. I mean, if you want to try him over right tackle at some point this year, because Jack Conklin's doing his very best, but you hold his breath on it. You hold your breath on every snap.
Yeah.
So, I mean, he's doing the best he can. I think he's done a fine job. It's fine enough job as he could. I know that there was one sack that was given up yesterday. It was pretty ugly there on the second quarter. But I think overall, you know, I ask you the question when it comes to Andrew Berry. All right, does DeJuan Jones, if he can play left tackle, does that make up for the miss at number 10 overall? Because you get a fourth-round left tackle that makes up for a number 10 overall guy at left tackle that can't play the position at a high level.
Well, it's not so much the draft picks for me, Ken, because the bulk of Andrew Berry's draft picks are from the third through seventh rounds. Okay. And let's be honest about third through seventh round picks. Those you're catching lightning in a bottle there. He doesn't have a lot of first and second round picks to be evaluated on, right? And the reason why, because he made the Deshaun Watson trade. That's a big strike against him. The Deshaun Watson trade has been a complete disaster. The contract's a disaster.
Yeah.
The Elijah Moore trade, okay, second-round pick given up for him, that has not worked very well. The Jerry Jeudy trade doesn't seem to be working very well. So he's made some moves here that have not gotten this team over the top. These were moves that were supposed to take this roster over the top. Then you have some other guy, you know, like Martin Emerson last year, really great player. This year, you know, he's not. DeJuan Jones last year, really great player. This year, he's not. But now DeJuan is a little better than he was in the first 5 weeks. So I think the jury's out on this season with DeJuan right now. But, like, you know, he's the one that was supposed to get this thing to the finish line, and he's not done it. And this season has been, like I said, it's been a complete disaster. It's a train wreck. It's a failure. And he's the one that bought the groceries.
Will they go back to DTR at some point?
I have to imagine that they're going to take a look at him, right? Because to your question earlier about Jameis, I mean, same thing. What they have to find now is they have to figure out who's the next bridge to the next quarterback failure that they're going to bring in here.
Well, geez, Daryl, we can't just call them failures already.
Well, that's what it's been for 25 years.
Okay,
shall I go through the list of 39 names?
You don't
names?
Need to go through the list of 39 names well, there, but at some point you got to hit on one.
Well, you
bitterman.
You're
so
you
nasty,
think?
So bitter.
You
I didn't,
think
I didn't
hit
put
on somebody.
You through that. My God.
At some point, you'd think just by osmosis alone, they'd find one of these guys that can play. They can't. I mean, you got a little bit out of Baker. That was great, but it wasn't good enough for him. And now here we are back on the carousel again. And do I trust this front office to do it? Nope. I don't trust this front office to find the next quarterback. Heck no.
So then they should be moved on from.
I certainly don't trust Paul DePodesta to be involved in the next quarterback. Because well, you can have all the data you want.
Mm.
Here's the one thing you can't quantify with data.
Mm.
It's the human element. That's where teams go wrong. The information is great. My criticism isn't about the information, the application, the information.
Yeah.
It's what you can't quantify is the human element.
Yeah.
And that is an area where the Browns, time and time again, have fallen short in their evaluations.
Daryl, we thank you very much for the time. All the best.
Fire them all, Ken.
Daryl Ryder, brought to you by Scheiben Jewelers, Cleveland's premier jewelry store. We'll talk to Daryl coming up later on this week on Friday, and it'll be after the trade deadline, which it is tomorrow, 4 p.m. Very busy day in America with the trade deadline and everything else going on tomorrow.
I said something that I thought was obvious to anybody with eyes that was watching that game, that Nick Chubb is not Nick Chubb. That's not Nick Chubb. What we saw yesterday, what we've seen so far, unfortunately, has not been the Nick Chubb that we all know and love and got behind and has, in my lifetime, the best running back I ever saw.
He got ripped.
But that sounds like a positive to me. That means you think he's going to return to being that Nick Chubb at some point.
I have no way to know that. But I don't know how anybody could watch what they've seen out of him and think anything other than what I put out there yesterday, which is why I was stunned.
Well, you can look at him and say, I think he's done. I don't think he's ever going to return to any form of a
five-yard-a-carry
running back.
Yeah, I haven't gone that far. I'm just saying the guy I've seen in three games is not Nick Chubb, which, like Daryl said, as expected. I did not have huge expectations for Nick Chubb going into this season. And obviously, he started the year on the IR, wasn't able to play, or what, the PUP or whatever, what is it called? So,
yeah.
I expected this to be a tough battle, a tough comeback trail. But, you know, we're evaluating players like we're supposed to evaluate. And right now the Browns have no running game. And a big part of that is because Nick Chubb is not Nick Chubb. It's not for a lack of him trying to bust his ass to get back
on
the field.
Well, my natural reaction is to disagree with you and come over and want to slap you and say, how dare you? But I want to know if I'm struggling within myself, and I've struggled within myself since I've seen what you've posted, or whether or not I'm being a fanboy or honest, because there's times where he falls forward, he shows such great burst. You know, there was a 1st and 10 run where it was just frump, and it looked like he was there again. But then again,
I haven't really seen the burst. I was
getting to the then again part.
Yeah.
But then again, he's coming off of one of the most significant injuries I think I've ever seen a Cleveland Brown go through. Maybe the most significant injury I've ever seen a Cleveland Brown go through. And so there's going to be a time where, yeah, and you're coming back. You had no training camp. Mm-hmm. You can only work out. There's such a thing as game shape. There's such a thing as game movement. I think a lot of people...
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Just don't want to believe that he may never, ever return to that form he was before. And he's so beloved that when you say something, and especially, I tell you, if you say something that maybe people might be thinking about and they don't want to say it out loud, they get mad at you for telling them that. There's always the inconvenient truth about things that none of us want to believe yet. Now, I'm not willing to go there yet with it. That's why I think it's still a little bit premature. Because it's been three games. He hasn't played in over a year. He's only been able to work out, and he's still a horse, and he can still do all these things physically, but can he play to that same level that he was before? I'm not sure if he can. I don't know. But I know I'm not going to learn in three games in the middle of the season. I think that maybe this year is this year, and then we see what we get back in next year. But there is the law of diminishing returns when it comes to a running back.
Yeah, it's a brutally tough spot for him, especially considering, you know, there was this kind of outcry yesterday from the people that did agree with me, and they said, yeah, he came back too early. And I'm like, we had no choice. Coming back too early, I mean, his contract, the way that it got restructured, right, or the way that the Browns redid his contract, it's incentive-based. He needed to play in these games. That was the Browns trying to meet him halfway, so he had to play.
It doesn't matter. He had no choice because he was up against the time allowed. He would have to lose the entire season because of the IR rule. So anybody can say what they want to about his contract or whatever. I mean, those are the rules of the league. You have 3 weeks after you get activated from IR to be an active player, or you have to be out for the entire year. Those are the rules. So he had to come back at some point. Now, did they have to play him or anything like that? I mean, we can make that argument all day long, because I think if you were to lose games, I think that Kevin's going to say, and he's going to say as well, if I'm active to play, then I'm active to play and I'm going to play. Because Kevin wants to try to win football games, and Nick Chubb helps you win football games. I'm still not ready to go there yet. I'm still uncomfortable with the conversation. And so when I read that, I got a little bit angry with you. I ain't going to lie. When you said it, I got a little bit angry with you, because you told me before I saw it, and I got a little bit angry. I ain't going to lie. But then I'm going through this. Am I just not seeing the truth yet? Is it such a bad thing? Like, what am I doing with... Like, you hear what I'm asking with the questions. Like, I don't know how to respond to it yet. Because there's been times, and I flatly disagree with you, where I think I've seen some of the burst. Is it as consistent? No, it's not as consistent as what it's been. But I can't expect it to be. It's been three games. He's coming back from a serious injury.
It's just weird seeing him get tackled by a weak side linebacker from behind. Like, that was never happening before. It happened yesterday like three times. And yeah, I get it. The offensive line is the offensive line. But there are other guys on his team running behind the same offensive line that have been getting, you know, much better carries. I mean, Jerome Ford, 5.2 average this year. Even Foreman, who's not really supposed to at this stage of his career, he's got 3.4 yards per carry. Chubb's at 2.7.
Yeah.
That's not even in the same stratosphere of Nick Chubb.
Well, I'm not ready to go there yet. I'm just not ready to go there.
Well, I think I'm kind of confused at your response, because I'm not saying that he's done. I'm just saying the Nick Chubb I've seen so far is not in the same galaxy as the Nick Chubb that we've seen dominate the league and look like one of the best running backs in modern day history. I think you agree with that, right? What you've seen out of Nick Chubb is not...
Well, yeah, I have to.
Okay, so why are you so uncomfortable? I'm not asking you to...
Because we love
to write off his career. I'm not writing off his career. I do think it's going to be tough for the Browns to like proceed. And what's the running back room look like next year? Like, can they count on Nick Chubb if this is what it is all year?
Well, I probably not. But I don't believe it's going to be like this all year.
Well, we'll
but again,
see.
The offense is so listless, I don't know when he's going to be able to actually show that. So are we going to see more of the same? Because I don't know. You got guys running into each other. You can barely get a play in. I know it worked out well last week. Jameis Winston's throwing pick after pick now. And it's been one game of pick after pick. We'll see what he does in two weeks. But it's just... Every time you think you have one problem solved, you get two other problems that you have to go out and solve. You get one of those, you get two extra problems. So then you're left with a whole bunch of problems. You're not, you just run out of time to fix these things. We get to the phones. Terry and Euclid, 216-474-0092. Terry and Euclid, you're first up on the Fan.
Hey, I vehemently disagree with this guy. You're saying that you're not writing his career off, but you are.
No,
because
not.
You wouldn't have said
I'm
that
not at
you
all.
Didn't. After three, wait a minute, let me finish. After three games, you're going to say, yeah, I don't see the Nick Chubb I used to see. Of course you're not going to see the
so
Nick Chubb
you
I used
me.
To see.
So you agree with me?
No.
You agree with me?
I don't agree with you. And let me tell you why.
It sounds like you agree with me. I appreciate you calling up and agreeing with me.
Let me tell you one thing that you're not saying. Well, what I'll tell you what I see is he doesn't make the cutback like he used to. That's the one thing. But at the same time, there's somebody waiting in the hole for him every time he gets the ball. And it wasn't like that before either. He used to have 3, 4, 5 steps before somebody was on his back or on his front. So that's the difference, too. I see the same burst. I just don't see the cutback. That's the only thing I don't see. Thank you.
See, I think, Terry, I think at times I've seen the same burst, and thank you very much for the call. But I'm being told I'm not, I don't know what I'm looking at. So, you know, I'm not sure. I'm not sure here because now I'm questioning what I even see.
Also, Chubb's been here since 2018. He's had some makeshift offensive lines in that time. Like he's
well,
been able.
The 2020 line, the original starting five only played half the games. Only played in 8 games,
and he averaged 5.6 yards per carry that year.
But is this also the Bill Callahan issue?
Bill Callahan
helped out in the running game.
There are plenty of other reasons too why it's not just Nick Chubb. Like the running game in general, they just don't have a standard NFL running game right now. I think there's only been one game this year.
So are we uncomfortable?
It's been impressive.
Are we uncomfortable because it did up until the end? It sounded like Terry agreed with it. He was upset about the burst comment that you made. No. But and I disagree with you too. But at the same time, is Terry upset because you're telling him something he might be thinking? Because it's like, well, he doesn't have a great offensive line. Okay, but he was able to make do with a bad offensive line before, or at least make maybe not as good offensive line look better.
Okay, that's what always made him different. Is that it really didn't matter. It really didn't matter. That guy was some of the most insane running back carries when it would look like he'd be stopped behind the line of scrimmage or there'd be no gain, and he would always flip to the side and all of a sudden jump into an area and you're like, wow, I didn't even see that was possible.
But can I expect him to do that this season? Can I expect him to return to that form this year?
Yeah, so I think we're in the same boat in not having any idea what this was going to look like following that massive, massive injury and the very complicated, you know, rebuilding of his lower body. I mean, this is that I didn't know what to expect. Like Daryl said, this is exactly what he expected. Mm-hmm. I had no idea what to expect in general when he came back. I just think it's to me, it's pretty clear that this is going to take some time. And I guess the question is, like, he's going to be out there trying to do this a season where who knows what trades they're going to make.
He can only play within the offense. The offense is not very good. He can only play within the offense. I don't know what trades they're going to make. That's right. I mean, goodness, if they trade David Njoku here over the next day, what's that offense going to look like? Then it's going to be even that much more on Nick Chubb. All right, well, is the offense just going to go out there and make Nick Chubb look bad? I know he's not a bad football player. I think he's been a great football player. How much better is he going to be for the future? Is the offense or lack thereof just going to make my all-time running back look worse than maybe even than what he is or whatever he has left or anything? Like, I think that's what's bothersome to so many people. People here love Nick Chubb. Is it an entire offense issue? Because you've had bad defenses before. Well, Miles was in his significant prime before where he was able to play well even with bad defenses. But, again, he was in his early 20s, mid-20s. There's a difference. Nick only has so much time, and he's coming off the worst injury I think I've seen with a Cleveland Browns player coming back from that.
This is What Was Wild Around the League. Sponsored by Wild Eagle Saloon. Locations in Broadview Heights, downtown, and Streetsboro. More details at wildeagle.com.
Well, we have a situation developing with the god-awful Saints who've lost 7 in a row.
Lima's wild thing.
And I thought nothing more wild than what went down yesterday. They lost their 7th straight game. It was ugly. You lose to Carolina, Bryce Young, 23-22. You had, unfortunately, Chris Olave go down with another concussion. That's, I think, his second on the year. And his, you know, the Denzel ones we kind of just hear about later, or we find out he's been, you know, he's off getting checked. This one, he goes over the middle. Derek Carr, it's a terrible throw. He gets smashed. 25 penalty flags come down because he got absolutely rocked. It was like an immediate concussion. Everybody could tell. He had to go to the hospital, by the way. Then a former teammate of Derek Carr weighed in. It was Michael Thomas going to social media. And he went off posting videos talking about how terrible Derek Carr is, that he sets up his wide receivers for these types of concussion balls. And it was really, really ugly. Well, Derek Carr got a chance to address it and was asked after the game.
I have love for Mike, you know, and when he does that, I don't really care for it, obviously. You know, I've had so many teammates over the years. He's like the one dude that didn't get along with me. And I don't know what I did to him. I don't know why he feels that way. I'm sorry for whatever he's dealing with to make him feel like he's got to do that. It's unfortunate, especially coming from a player like that, but I wish him the best. I hope he gets on a team and does what he wants to do and loves it.
All the Derek Carr stats were out big time yesterday, like the fact that after 11 seasons, nobody has more losses as starting quarterback than Derek Carr. And this writer from the AP, Josh Dubow, had every season, after four seasons, the most losses from a quarterback. David Carr, after five seasons, David Carr, six, David, seven, Derek, eight, Derek, nine, Derek, 10, Derek, 11, Derek and Archie Manning. Both 91 losses.
Boy, that's a lot.
Owen's like, you used to support this guy. Yeah. You used to support Derek Carr. There were seasons where I'm like, yeah, I want Derek Carr.
I would take him. He's lost to 31 of the 32 NFL franchises in his career.
Okay, but not all 32.
Well, he's played for the Raiders, and he's played for the New Orleans Saints.
He's got the chance. They play the Raiders coming up in a few weeks.
One of the biggest games of the season.
Lord Almighty.
Will it be the most bet thing?
Yes,
whether
it
or not they
will.
Lose. Can he play the role of spoiler to his own stat and futility?
Can he?
Mitch?
Mitch's wild thing.
Well, speaking of the Raiders, they just suffered their fifth straight loss at the hands of the Bengals, 41-24, and they have fired three members of their offensive coaching staff, including coordinator Luke Getsy. This marks the fourth time in the past 5 years, guys, that the Raiders have made a change at coordinator or head coach in the middle of a season.
It already looks like it could be one and done for Antonio Pierce.
Yep.
I don't know. You paid John Gruden to go away. You're going to pay Antonio Pierce to go away. Boy, there's a reason why, like, how do I put this? When you have the interim coach go in, there's so much emotion. And then it's like, well, now you have to create your own thing. Now you have to create your own working. And there's been, man, that used to be like the way it was. Like, it was always a coach would leave or get fired, and one of his assistants would take over. And that's kind of the way it was for so long. And now, I don't know if you can do it. It's like they know the guys too closely. They know the guys too well. I mean, Antonio Pierce was saying guys were making business decisions. All right, well, you're supposed to be the hard ass to keep them from making business decisions. Now you went out and you brought in new guys for your coaching staff. You've already fired them. I mean, it looks like you're trying every desperate thing to do in a season.
Do you wonder what Tom Brady thinks of all this?
Well, I'd like to say find out on
Does
America's
Tom Brady
Game of the
know
Week.
Any coaches
but,
that could replace him?
I mean, you might as well. I mean, you're part owner of the team now. You might as well just try to coach a team. I mean, hell, Al Davis used to call down plays.
Well, I mean,
it's not like the Raiders haven't had not had that experience before.
He had a close working relationship with a other coach that was pretty good in the NFL.
Oh,
he's out of a job. Well, right
who'd
now.
That be?
You think he'd hire Bill Belichick?
Let's do
How
it.
How great would that
Let's
be?
Let's do it.
How amazing of a story would
I
that
think
be?
He'd, you think he'd get them to hire Bill Belichick?
It doesn't matter whether I think he will or not. Is it good for the market? Is it good for the NFL?
It's great for sports radio.
Oh, God.
Owen's wild thing.
All right, you can't spell punch a Seahawks defensive back in the face without Puka. P-U-C-A.
That's right. Yeah, those letters, they fit right in there.
Puka Nacua. Ejected in the second quarter yesterday in the Rams 26-20 OT win over the Seahawks. He's already missed 5 weeks with a knee injury. He had one catch for 11 yards yesterday. He was a starter on 97% of rosters on ESPN Fantasy yesterday. He's had 12 catches for 152 yards on the season. And, of course, Dr. Jesse Morris. He's a sports medicine physician. He noted online
one
of the easiest ways to prevent re-injuring your knee is to get ejected from a game.
I have a block. I block him. I block all Twitter doctors.
You don't know this guy. This is a different guy. I know this guy.
I would imagine I am blocked.
You didn't block him.
I've always thought that if you punch somebody while wearing a helmet and you punch them in the helmet, to me, they should let you stay in the game.
That was my question.
And encourage it.
That was my question. He didn't the guy didn't even really stumble at
all.
No,
you're only damaging yourself, so.
Right.
That's your punishment.
Now you got to go try to catch footballs with a hurt hand.
Yeah. I'd say leave him in. I do not think he should have gotten ejected for
or
this.
Or at least make him tape like a big...
Can't leave
one of those
him
American gladiator punching things on there.
You psychos.
And that's how you go for
you
the
can't leave
the
him in.
Kenny?
All right. I was taking it.
Ken's wild thing.
Sorry about that. Zeke Elliott, who was not traveling with the Dallas Cowboys as they fell to the Falcons on the road. The Falcons are 6-3. The Falcons fell to 3-5 and
Cowboys.
Cowboys fell to 3-5, and according to Jerry Jones, there's a disciplinary issue.
Well, Zeke couldn't make the trip. He was being punished, and so he just couldn't make the trip. I know that Zeke really was the first one to recognize the discipline involved in meetings and those kind of things. Zeke is the antithesis of trouble. He's absolutely led the way his entire career on leading our team off the field as well as on the field.
Someone said he was late to some practices and...
That's from 105.3, the fan of Dallas.
The flagship of the Dallas Cowboys.
He did not threaten to fire anyone in that clip.
Did not? No, he didn't. So Jerry Jones is suffering no foolishness recently here. Is this the end for Zeke Elliott?
Yeah, it's crazy because we just talked last week about him on Ohio State and those incredible stats the last four games of the season when they won the national championship. And he burst onto the scene in Dallas. He had one of the great rookie running back years you will ever see. And now he's, a shell of himself. He's averaging 3 yards a carry and now can't even make the trip. It's rough, man. And he's 29. Just running backs, this league just swallows you up when you get into the late 20s.
Meanwhile, we're talking about Jameis last week going, well, he's only 30.
Right.
He's still relatively young.
Yeah.
And then running backs, it's like, oh, my God, you're still here? You're 29? What are you still doing here? You old man. Yeah, that's
that was
not good.
What was wild around the league. Sponsored by Wild Eagle Saloon. Locations in Broadview Heights, downtown, and Streetsboro. More details at wildeagle.com.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.